Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This is Bonus Benson.
This segment is officially completely off the rails.
What are you talking about?
Stuff we wish never aired.
I will eat chalupas all day long.
Come on, man.
The Guy Benson Show.
Home stretch here on The Guy Benson Show. Thank you for listening. GuyBensonShow.com. Podcast free every day on demand. Heading to the airport shortly, flying out to the West Coast and Los Angeles. We'll be doing the show from there for the next couple of days. A lot of travel here between now and the election. Meantime, I saw this story about Queen Elizabeth II, and I had heard about this before. I'd forgotten about it because on, was it Friday? It might have been Thursday. The days are sort of blurring together here. But we decided to craft some cocktails in honor of Her Majesty after she had died. I guess her favorite cocktail was a gin and Dubonnet, if I'm saying that correctly. And so we prepared that at the house for some of our guests. I mentioned that last week. And we raised a glass to her. And in the process of doing that research to find the ingredients and how the cocktail is made and all of that, I ran across the story about how the Queen famously drank quite a lot. She would drink 4 to 5 servings of alcohol, 4 to 5 drinks a day, including cocktails and champagne. And the first cocktail would start before lunch. I mean, that is quite a clip, I have to say. But can you really argue with it? You know, she's got that whole family and all that drama to deal with. So she's like, all right, let's get this cocktail rolling here, please. Just like I can imagine just ringing a little bell and in comes the cocktail. It's been prepared already, right on cue. And she lived to 96. So I'm not saying that there's a direct causal relationship here, but I think some people might see it that way. Right? Many people are saying. Just, 5 cocktails a day keeps the doctor away. I'm not necessarily endorsing that, but I think someone whose ears have perked up a little bit is producer Christine, because as we know, producer Christine enjoys her booze. She sometimes charmingly refers to it as the hooch. We sometimes call it mama's juice, although that's usually on the wine side of things. Christine, number one, are you inspired by this aspect of the Queen's legacy? And number two, how is your sober September going?
I'll start with number one. Of course, I'm inspired by this. I'm really with like a bell of my own. And every time I hit ding, I get a Cosmo. That sounds nice.
Who would come running with that, Dan?
Well, if I'm here, yes, Dan. Or if I'm home, obviously, Bobby. I mean, Megan, she's old enough, right?
I can imagine. Well, she's been serving you alcohol, your young daughter, for years, right? You trained her. It's like one of the first things. She was probably still in diapers when she realized, you know, it's like, oh, I got to bring this pink drink to mama. I can imagine Dan being in like the edit bay doing actual work for the show. And there goes the bell again. He just sighs and rolls his eyes and like, all right, I'll be right back. Okay, so you're loving this detail of the Queen's life. And then please do answer part two of the question, which is, you were getting pretty proud of yourself. You do this. You get up on this high horse about your periods of abstinence from drinking. And it was after Labor Day weekend, and you announced to the audience and to us that you were going to do Sober September. And is that still underway?
I have to say I'm pretty proud of myself for September. It's been modified, the program. Mm-hmm. It's been modified a little bit. It's not total sober September. Mm. Bobby and I have changed it to let's not have a bender in September. And we
No bender September.
We're nailing it. We really are.
So how many drinks are you allowed to have per day under this rule? What counts as a bender.
So,
would 4 to 5 drinks a day, like the queen, would that qualify?
No. So, I mean, the rules can change, you know, how it goes.
Of course.
But for right now, there's no alcohol during the week. And, you know, if we have a drink, you know what? We actually broke that. We had said Saturday, like, we just won't have alcohol in the house. So if, like, we go out to, like, a nice dinner, you know, we went to a steak dinner on Saturday. How was I not going to have a cocktail? And then how was I not going to have a glass of red wine or two with dinner? And how was I not going to have an espresso martini with my creme brulee? You understand my issue here, right?
Well, I mean, I understand the points you're making. It's just completely divorced from the goal, which was sober September. You just described 4 drinks at one meal right there.
I know, but the thing is, after that, when we went home, I did not have any mama's juice, which is...
Oh, well, that's...
You know?
So impressive. So, how long did this last? When did you start drinking again?
Saturday night when Bobby and I sat down. Megan was at a sleepover, and so Bobby and I went to, like, a nice dinner, and we sat down, and we looked at each other. I'm like, what are we doing? He's like,
okay,
I don't know.
So hang on. So if I'm recalling correctly, you made this announcement to us on Tuesday, the 6th of September. We all came back from Labor Day. You said that the first 5 days of September didn't count because it was the long weekend through Labor Day. So then you announced Sober September on the 6th, and by the 10th, you were drinking again.
It's pretty
timeline?
Pretty impressive, don't you think?
No. That is 1, 2, 3. You made it 4 days.
A lot.
You made it 4 days. That's better than your last failure, which was Dry January of last year, where you made it, what, 10 days?
I think 11.
11 days? So I should say it's not impressive. You're going backwards. Like last year, if I remember correctly, you did Dry January and made it 10 or 11 days, which was even worse than my own expectation in the office pool. You underperformed. And then this is 4 days. You are backsliding, Christine.
No, because it was modified. Didn't you hear me in the beginning? It wasn't called. We changed the wording. It wasn't called Sober September.
Yeah, but you changed it after the fact. Like, that's not impressive, right? If you're going to commit to doing something and then say, well, actually, I'm going to do the thing that we weren't going to do at all, just not as much. You don't get credit for that. A modification is not like a, oh, wow, look, good for her. Look at what they've done here.
But you're wrong. I did not change it. I changed it while the waiter was making the cocktail. So I didn't have my first sip and then change it.
I see what you're saying, that you changed the made-up rules just before you started breaking the previous rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
We can go back and forth on wording here, but...
Yeah, we're not really splitting hairs, though. I think we know what happened here, and I think the audience can judge whether or not you are upholding any standard whatsoever on this. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying you should maybe not get over your skis so frequently. I feel like you come all excited, guns blazing out of the gate with some big thing that you're committing to, and then it's just gone. It's like you're that kid in middle school who goes through every fad and then loses interest, and then all of a sudden they're super into something else. You're like, oh, let's see how long this one will go. And sort of a diminishing returns effect tends to come into play, and that's kind of what's happening here. But in this case, it's the same sort of obsession and then falling short repeatedly. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think people can relate to me. It's a hard thing to do, and I'm proud of myself, and I'll continue to do good work. And with that being said, I do have a new obsession, Guy, besides Mama's Juice.
NFL football?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about this on Friday. Did it stick through the weekend? Did you watch NFL football on Sunday? Are you still, I guess, gaining interest in the sport? Is this building, or are you on the sort of backside of this fad yet?
Oh, it's a building. It's a building. I watched 3 full games yesterday. I watched the Lions. And I said Phillies, but apparently you can't say that. So the Lions versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles, yep.
And I think that I really wanted to watch that game because I had binged Hard Knocks on Saturday. So I was all in on the Lions.
Yes, that's because you're still trying to pick your team. May I advise against the Detroit Lions? Just, I have a feeling about that.
Yeah, everybody here is saying that, but you know what? It's sometimes not about what you do on the field. It's also how you act off the field. And Coach Campbell, you know, he gives it his all, and he has
heart. That's spoken just like a woman who did Sober September and made it 4 days, right? Sort of like it's not really about the outcomes so much.
Guy, I could also confirm she came in just really fired up this morning. Hey, do you want to talk about this with the football on Sunday? Did you see this thing? Did you see that? And she's just all over the place and just absolutely amped up for NFL. I can confirm.
Honestly, the fact that you watched 3 entire football games, that's more than you've watched in your whole life combined, I feel like.
Yep. This past week, the past 4 days, I had watched more football than I ever watched in my entire life.
You watched the opening game on Thursday, then you binged Hard Knocks in preparation for Sunday. This is just like, who is this? So you watched the Detroit-Philadelphia game, then you watched Giants-Titans, which was a very exciting finish.
Yep.
And a win for my Giants on the road. Ballsy 2-point conversion at the end. Missed field goal by Tennessee.
Which I felt so bad for that guy who missed it. Like, his whole job was that. And he didn't meet up to the moment.
You should call in. Cookie should call into, like, sports talk shows around the country. Like, call up some Nashville station. It's Cookie in Jersey, short-time listener. First-time listener, first-time caller. That'd be Christine, but your analysis is correct. I'm sure that was a very painful thing for the Titans fans. As a Giants fan, I was happy with the outcome. And then did you end up watching Brady and Sunday Night Football after all?
Of course I did. And boy, what happened to the Cowboys out there?
It was a boring game, honestly. And now I guess Dak is injured, so I think the Cowboys are in some trouble here. But it wasn't a thing of beauty, but they got it done. The Buccaneers did on the road in Texas. So I'm surprised that you're not just going in for the Bucs and Brady as your team.
You know what? I listen, it's still on the table. I don't know. But I didn't feel connected yet. Mm-hmm. So
He's not going to be there forever. Right? He was supposed to be retired already. So you don't want to necessarily pick a franchise based on one guy. So I think that you're being judicious. You're waiting. I think that that's wise. Maybe less wise is something that I just found out about. You are betting on these games. You're gambling already, Christine?
Yeah, I put 20 on the Lions to win.
Okay. Well, I mean, rookie mistake right there. You know, let's perhaps come back. We've talked about your drinking problem. We'll get to your gambling problem in a future home stretch because we're out of time. But this is inauspicious. This is my most concerned thing about your newfound fandom. We'll get to it later in the week with Christine here on the home stretch. In the meantime, I'm off to LA doing the show from there the next couple of days. We will talk to you then. Same time, same place. Guy Benson Show. Home stretch from LA on the Guy Benson Show. Thank you for listening. GuyBensonShow.com podcast. Free every day. On demand as always. Well, it's a very momentous day, actually, here at the show. Even though Quiet Wyatt is off and I'm on the West Coast, we have to acknowledge that today marks 1 year since Dan joined our team, and I cannot believe that it's been a year already. Like, in my mind, it's been maybe 6 months. But it's been double that, not because anything has been amiss. I just feel like time flies when you're having fun, when you're working hard. And Dan, I have to ask you, on balance, how's the first year felt?
It's been amazing. I can't believe it's been a year either. It feels like a month ago I just started. But it's been great. I've learned a lot with you guys. I love working with all of you. Cookie, Christine in studio is a lot of fun. Learned a lot from everybody. And it's been wonderful. And thank you guys for having me.
You spent a lot of your career in sports, and sports radio. Dan Patrick, we talked about that. Two-a-days, your nickname over there. You joined here not as necessarily like a big political person. Do you feel like you have maybe gleaned some insights into politics and interest into politics that wasn't there before?
No, I absolutely have. I've learned a lot from you, just monologues and interviewing. learning a lot who people are in politics and in news and in different news outlets and who everyone is, like the who's who of the news of the world and the politics of the world. I've definitely learned a lot. It's a lot like sports, you know, there's different characters within the genre, and then you learn who's who and what topics are what.
Part of your, shall we say, educational experience has been trying to catch up on a long series of inside jokes and ridiculous references that we make here. And I know we gave you a quiz on some of them a couple of months back. Do you feel like you finally have a handle on that? And do you think you'll ever fully understand the riddle that is producer Christine?
I feel like I've learned a lot of the inside jokes, which is good. You know, now one of my favorites is Why the Clown, which is fantastic and just great knowledge. I don't think Christine will ever be solved, let's say. But I've learned a lot from her and her expertise and, you know, some get rich quick schemes maybe in my future.
I would stay away from all of those based on her outcomes.
Yep. I learned the main thing is that I don't need more than one vacuum is really the top yeah. one.
Until you do, because you've thrown out all of your previous ones for the new one, then that one breaks. So I feel like, yes, she's always teaching in her own special way. And Christine, do you have any message for Dan here 1 year in?
Well, I'm going to relate this to sports, Dan. As producing goes, would you look at me as more of a Tom Brady or Derek Jeter in the world of producers?
That's really tough for me because I'm a Yankee fan. You know, longevity. I'll go with longevity with Brady. That is no reference to anyone's age or anything of the sort.
Oh, it could be.
But yeah, let's go with Brady, Tommy.
All right, I like it. I like it because
the goat.
Yeah,
he just
true.
Called you I'm, the goat.
I like it. I'm still here. I've been at Fox almost 18 years.
It's impressive.
But I have to say, working with Dan has just been truly amazing. I've learned a lot from Dan, and I've definitely, you know, my interest has certainly peaked on sports. And, you know, I'm just like peppering him with questions on football now, and he has every answer that I need. So,
yeah. So, I mean, you've got like Bobby at home. Then you get into the workplace and you can continue your process of gleaning information about sports from Dan, who's certainly an expert. And did you watch Monday Night Football?
I sure did. I sure did. The Broncos and the Seahawks. I have to say, still on my search for a team. It definitely is not going to be the Seahawks because those costumes that they wear are obnoxious, that color. Like they
uniforms.
Should probably have somebody... Uniforms, whatever. They should probably make something else because that is not a look. So that is not something that I will be wearing. So the search is still on. I'm about to like put a Twitter poll out there. Like, I don't know what to do. I think I've seen them all now and I still don't feel, you know.
Do the colors matter? Like, do you want to make sure that if you're going to be buying gear, you like the look? Is that part of your calculus?
A 1,000%. It has to be, you know. That's why I'm okay with the Giants colors.
Yeah,
I think
red, white,
nice,
and blue.
But I just don't have that connection with the Giants just yet. It's definitely not going to be the Jets. I don't like the color. I do like a green, but I don't like that green. And
just save yourself the heartache and don't become a Jets fan. The Giants at least do things occasionally, even though it's been rough for a while. I'm not going to press you to be a Giants fan, even though I am basically a Giants fan. I don't follow them that closely. But I think what you should do is watch maybe a few more weeks worth of games, take some more stock of what you're seeing, maybe narrow it down to four teams, and then put out a Twitter poll. And people can vote, and fan bases can try to win your fandom. Or maybe strategically not, right? They'll be like, vote for someone else. We don't need her on the bandwagon. But I think that's something we should do maybe like 3-4 weeks from now. Put that in your notes, or maybe Quiet Wyatt's off today, but he keeps binders and records on everything. So let's revisit that in a few weeks where Christine can maybe narrow down her choices.
Well, what if I like book a quarterback a week? Like, would they come on the show?
You know, I think that might be difficult. I think that might be tricky. I'm sure I could come up with some questions to ask them. I'm not a huge NFL guy. I know Dan could probably help with that. Look, how about this? If you want to pursue that, let me know. And if you get, you know, Tom Brady, for example, we'll put him on. We'd put him on the air. I'd consider it at least. Meanwhile, you are celebrating a non-sports-related victory today, Christine. And it's not just that you haven't chased Dan away for an entire year yet. But this has something to do with a new term entered into the dictionary. And I guess you kind of want to take credit or spike the football, so to speak, here.
That is true. Merriam-Webster has officially put the word pumpkin spice in the dictionary. And I have to say, I'm actually surprised it hasn't already been in there. But look, Guy, it's just a win for me here. I've been telling you for years how much people love pumpkin spice, myself included, and that you're missing out. And the people, I mean, Merriam spoke. Yeah, Merriam spoke.
Merriam-Webster. Thing is, I think that you're misunderstanding my point on pumpkin spice stuff. I'm not against it. I'm not someone who's saying it's disgusting and no one should try it, or even that I don't personally like it. My objection has been it starts too soon. My objection is pumpkin spice, autumnal stuff in July and August. Once you're into the fall, go for it. And I have no problem with pumpkin spice being in people's coffee cups or in their dictionary. I'm fine with that. It's the premature arrival that bothers me. I feel like you've conflated the issue here.
Probably. I mean, it's what I do. What do you feel about the word? What do you feel about the word janky?
Oh, janky, like sort of shoddy, not good.
Yeah, like poor quality.
Is that one of the other words that they've added?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. So they expand the dictionary. Janky is a new one. Pumpkin spice, I guess, is a new one. What else do they have here, Christine?
Yeet. Y-E-E-T. It's a verb to throw something with force.
Yeah, toss. Yeah, to like to hurl something, kind of. Yeet.
Yeah, I've never heard that before, but I just want everybody out there to know our show, the Guy Benson Show, ain't janky.
No, we pwn. That's another one. Now I'm looking these up. P-W-N, a verb to dominate and defeat. We pwn. The only thing is that seems a little out of date. Like, pwn was a thing a while back, and they're kind of maybe playing some catch-up. Is Luke? Did they add Luke, L-E-W-K? Oh.
Yes.
That should not have been added. That's not a thing.
Oh, so do you not? You're on Instagram. That's always a thing. Like when
Instagram
influencers.
I know, but it's not a real word. It's stupid slang. That's just a different spelling of look. L-E-W-K. I'm opposed to that one. Someone should give me some veto power on some of this stuff. Work on that, Christine, as well, please. While you're booking NFL quarterbacks, maybe get, I don't know, the president and CEO of Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I actually have some political issues to take up with him or her if you're able to book that guest, because they seem to change certain definitions of words based on the political zeitgeist, which I think is super creepy and Orwellian. And on that note, we do have to go. Done from LA today. I'm still here for a couple more days on the Guy Benson Show. Thank you very much for listening. Back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a great evening. Home stretch on the Guy Benson Show, Wednesday edition from sunny Southern California. Thank you for listening. GuyBensonShow.com, our website, podcast free when the show is over. That's on demand every day. GuyBensonShow.com, FoxNewsPodcast.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll be on Fox News at night this evening in the midnight hour, Eastern Time, on Fox News Channel. So hope to see you there. Or if it's a little late, you can always set your DVR for that. Well, as I've said now a lot today and yesterday and again tomorrow, I'm in Los Angeles. I have an event today, a speech. So last night I had to prepare for it. I had a lot of stuff that I needed to do, but I was famished. I had done the show. West Coast time just throws me off. Everything's just too early. It doesn't all make sense to me. So I hadn't eaten, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to focus unless I had really, you know, fed myself. And it was still quite early. It was like 4:30. I said, do I go to dinner like a senior citizen, early bird special here, and go by myself to dinner in the middle of the afternoon, basically? And the answer was yes. I went to an Italian restaurant. I will say, I mean, inflation is crazy. What I paid for this meal just for me is just wild. But I sat there by myself. I chatted with the waitress, who was very nice, from the Midwest. And other than that, I was on my phone a little bit. I was taking a few photographs, but I was just taking in the scenery. I was sitting outside, had two glasses of wine over the course of the meal, and it was just very peaceful. I know some people hate the idea of eating by themselves, especially in public. I think if I had to do that all the time, I wouldn't love it because I'm a social person. But from time to time, there's almost nothing better than treating yourself to a meal out, just you. And I feel the same way about going to the movies. I love going to a movie alone. I get my Coke Zero, I get my peanut M&Ms, I settle in, and it's just me. It's just like a little time out from life in the theater. And sometimes I feel the same way about eating alone, and it was great. And I had a little espresso at the end of the meal, came back, did all my work, got ready for the presentation, and away we go. And Christine, I feel like you are not someone who would thrive eating by yourself. I feel like, or you would need to make a new friend and basically chat with them the whole time. I feel like it's hard to picture you quietly sitting at a corner table eating and just enveloped in your own thoughts. Am I wrong about that?
You're not wrong, because as you were speaking about this, I thought, oh, I could definitely do this because I'll just make friends. But I guess that's not the point.
That is not the point.
Dining out alone. So no, I wouldn't. I've never been to a movie alone.
Oh, it's so good.
I think I'd be a little nervous. I don't know why. Movie theaters scare me.
Nervous?
Yeah, I don't really like movie theaters that much. I think we've had this conversation before. They make me
nervous.
I
don't really remember that, but it's also hard to keep track of all of your neuroses, so it's entirely possible that we have. But what about dining alone? Could you get on board with that, or would you be scared?
No, I would not be scared. I'm actually, I don't do it often, but I look forward to the next time because I just know I'd make a new friend. So if, for me, it would still be like a social evening out, whether I'm friends with the bartender, the waitress, yeah, or whoever's sitting next to me on business.
Oh, I bet you'd be friends with the bartender. I guarantee you that.
So I wouldn't look at it as really dining alone. I don't think, especially if I didn't have my phone or something, I don't think I could just sit at a table at a restaurant eating by myself. And I don't know. No, you're right. Mm-hmm. Not my cup of tea.
Although you've now changed your position on this since the morning meeting, because you and I are actually coming back out here to California in a couple of weeks, and we'll be telling people all about why and when and all of that coming up soon. But you're going to be accompanying me, gulp, on that trip. And you said, oh, yeah, if you're busy, I'll definitely do that. I'll be eating by myself. I'm looking forward to eating by myself. And I said, I am also looking forward to you eating by yourself out in California. Got a big laugh from Quiet Wyatt. And then you immediately realized that I was poking fun at you. And you said, no, 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 you're eating with me. And I think that's probably what I'll end up getting roped into, right?
Oh, of course. I'm already looking up restaurants for us and trying to figure out if I need to make reservations or not. But yeah, obviously, unless you have plans with other people, you and I are going to be dining together. And I stand by, I said I was looking forward to eating alone, but I didn't understand what you meant. I meant I'm looking forward to meeting new people when I go out to dinner by myself.
Yeah, it's a different approach. And I chatted up the waitress for a while, probably like a total of 10 or 15 minutes. She was very nice, sort of had worked at some very cool places, but much of the meal was just me sitting, enjoying, thinking about the food, eating it, enjoying the temperature. Because here's the thing, California has a lot of flaws, and I would not want to live out here for many reasons. In Southern California, the weather, it makes sense why people sometimes stay, even if they hate so many other things here. The weather is pretty spectacular. Yesterday was no exception. Again, today, there's a lot of consistency there. But then you're sort of like, can I keep the lights on? Will the government come after me? Are the taxes going to go up yet again? There's all those other concerns that would make this, to me, inhospitable. It's a place to live. But I'll give them the weather. I will absolutely give them that. Meanwhile, Christine, very quickly, we talked about this earlier in the week, your newfound love for NFL football. And it has come to my attention, you've mentioned it now a few times, you are betting on multiple games. So you're already gambling on a sport that you don't really understand. You're calling uniforms costumes on the air, for example. Do you think, and again, this is just some unsolicited life advice, do you think that you might want to at least become – like a well-versed fan of the sport who understands the landscape before you start losing money betting on the games?
Actually, I feel like I'm pretty well-versed on the game. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm pretty smart and I'm pretty quick. And I honestly probably could answer so many questions.
You're a very stable genius is what I'm hearing here.
Very, yeah. Very even-keeled, stable, smart, quick girl. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so the problem is, yes, okay, the betting. The problem
how
is-
many how many points does a team get on a safety?
Two.
Don't ask Dan. Nope, you just asked
him. Sorry. I gave it to her.
You asked me the one thing I don't know.
No, I didn't. I picked one thing at random, and you cheated, and then you tried to deny it. So, again, that's just like a case in point here. I think that maybe the gambling – I don't gamble on sports, period, as a lifelong sports fan. But if that's going to be one of your vices, I just think maybe wait till you know some things.
Well, I guess so. But I just want to point out that was like the one thing I really didn't know.
How many games? All right, how about this? How many games have you? Well, how about this? How many games are in the regular season for an NFL team?
So it goes from like the end of August until Super Bowl. So I don't know, one game a week. So 8, 12, 16.
I mean, okay, good math.
Is that was I
games,
right?
How many games? How many games have you bet on so far?
Two.
Are you in the red or in the black?
Black is good, red is bad, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I'm in the red.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you 0 for 2, actually, on those games?
Yes, I bet that the...
You bet on the Lions, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I mean, that, like, already, red flag. Big red flag. You're like, opening your NFL fandom. You're like, you know what? I love football now. Let me go out and place a bet on Detroit. It's just...
But
it's a warning sign.
But did you not watch Hard Knocks? I mean, this team was ready. They had it all. But the thing that they got me with was the heart of the team and the coach. Mm-hmm.
I know you've mentioned this, but that doesn't really matter in wins and losses. And then, as they do, they lost. And you lost your money. I just feel like you need to save that money for another vacuum cleaner, Christine.
Very, very funny. I didn't decide yet if I'm going to bet on tomorrow. It's the Chiefs and the who? The Chiefs and the Raiders, right? No? Chargers. Who are the Raiders?
Okay. That's formerly Oakland, now Las Vegas.
So L.A. gets two teams?
That's right, after having none for a very long time.
Well, how do you decide? Like, how does each – does, like, the state say we want this amount of teams, or how does that work?
No, it's not a state thing. Well, I mean, think about the Yankees and the Mets, right?
Right.
The Giants and the Jets. L.A. is a huge market. I don't know if they really have the market to sustain both of these teams based on fan base and attendance and all of that, but they're going for it. Now we're off on a tangent. You're asking good, interesting questions, Christine. I just feel like these are questions that you should, over the course of years, learn the answers to.
I want
to
know everything now.
Yeah, but this just, it's like, I want it now, Veruca Salt, but we have to, like, it's a process here. And then maybe one day you can get your golden ticket. I'm really reaching here for the Chocolate Factory references.
So are you saying I should stick to betting on the ponies and don't move over to football just yet?
I mean, I'd prefer you bet on ponies than, you know, execute them, which is part of what you do, right? Part of your rap sheet. So I'll leave it at that. I'm just not a bettor in general. I think gambling, you got to pick your vices, and I don't know if you need another vice, sports gambling. Just friendly advice here from the other coast. We will do one more show here from LA tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Same time as always right here. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful evening. It's the Guy Benson Show.
Hut, hut, whatever.
Home stretch, Guy Benson Show, Thursday edition from LA. Thank you very much for being here with us. GuyBensonShow.com. That's our website. Podcast is always free. Well, we, of course, covered last week, Thursday and Friday, heavily the death of Queen Elizabeth II. And her funeral is coming up on Monday. The UK has been in mourning. Lots of events all around the country in her honor. And it's been interesting to watch
from afar. Americans, many of us, very interested in the story. I have not been following it as closely as I did last week. I'll probably pay some attention to the funeral on Monday. But one of these sources of controversy and topics of discussion is the royal family now that she's gone. I mean, unsurprisingly, this is something I think we all could have expected these conversations to start. The new king, King Charles III, he's getting some bad press about, I guess, demands that he makes of his aides and his staff and a couple little hot mic moments from him. And it's unclear how out of context or out of character some of this stuff is. I know he's getting positive reviews in other respects. I'm not here to render some sort of judgment on the early days of his reign. But I have seen some of those headlines and some of those clips. And then you go down a generation to William and Kate and then Harry and Meghan. And obviously a lot of attention is being paid to them. That dynamic, that relationship had already had a lot of eyeballs on it for all sorts of reasons through the years. And once again, Meghan Markle, Harry's wife, an American, is getting a lot of attention on social media, sort of gossip columns. She's back in the mix after what a lot of Britons think was sort of like tearing Harry away from the family. Some Americans are on her side. It seems like she's gotten, for the most part, a chilly reception over there, but not entirely. And that's sort of my lay of the land from a very far distance. I have not been following the ins and outs of this. But producer Christine apparently has, and she has a, you might want to call it a hot take. She is a big cheerleader, pom-pom-waving fan of Meghan Markle. I'm just trying to figure out, Christine, why?
I think she's getting a bad rep around here. I think that she loves Prince Harry. She was treated completely unfairly by the quote-unquote firm, as she said, to Oprah. And I think that, look at her now. She came back to support him. She's out there talking to the people, giving them hugs, you know, walking with William and Kate. And let's be honest, they weren't very nice to her. So I think that she's exactly what you would want in a princess. And I think people are really, really just crushing her and Harry for no reason. And apparently I was telling Wyatt all this and he seemed to think quite the opposite.
Yeah, I'm finding myself not fully agreeing with what you're saying here. And I have to stipulate that as a Northwestern alumnus, Meghan Markle's also a Northwestern alum. And mm-hmm. So I've called on her to be the lifelong homecoming duchess for as long as she wants. But it also does kind of seem like her presence in that family hasn't been great. It seems like a little toxic at times. She's been perhaps a bit self-involved and annoying through certain trials and tribulations. I'm not saying there aren't two sides of the story. I guess I'm just not terribly inclined to be overly sympathetic to her and her role in all of this. And it sounds like Wyatt might agree with me. Wyatt, what was the basis of this conversation you had with Cookie? And how did you push back?
Well, Guy, it was also mainly more about Princess Diana and how she was treated, because I think she was treated far worse by the press and by the family and now by King, Your Majesty the King Charles, than anything Meghan has suffered. I think I watched a documentary the other day about Princess Diana and how she was treated, and I just think that she was a real victim. I don't think that Meghan is necessarily a victim. I think she makes everything about herself.
Yes.
And like, this is the Queen's funeral. I mean, it somehow, you know, she likes to make everything about herself. I think it's very nice that Harry and Meghan have went over and have, you know, put their differences aside with William and Kate, but I think that she just somehow has a way to always make everything about herself. And Diana was not that way, and I think that she was treated much, much worse.
Christine, it sounds like you have something to say.
You've got to be kidding me. Listen, I love me some Diana. I really do. But she made a lot of it about herself. She really catered to the press. She really went out of her way. Remember the interview she did? And here's the thing. You might be right that Diana obviously was more of a victim, but that's why Meghan and Harry left. That was the whole point. Harry did not want there to be a Diana 2.0 situation here. And that's the reason they left. If she stayed, who knows what would have happened?
I guess I just find fundamentally the problem with Meghan Markle, with the Oprah interview and so much of what they've decided to do, setting aside their very obnoxious political preening and how they seem to get lots of money to do basically nothing at all, and kind of the woke social justice-y stuff that they're espousing, I can just separate that out for a second. The fact that Meghan Markle is trying to play a victimhood card when she married into the British royal family, knowing what that was, and she's sort of pretending, oh, I had no idea. She should have known. She should have known if she was a conscientious person who had done any due diligence at all. I don't really believe her that she was totally caught off guard by all of this stuff. You know what you're getting into to some extent, and if you're not prepared to deal with some difficulty and scrutiny and all of that, that's on her. That's not on anyone else.
Have you ever heard the term love is blind? I mean, she fell in love with Harry. I don't think she fell in love necessarily because he was the prince.
Oh, I'm sure. I was just a total coincidence. He just happened to be, you know, the prince over from the UK, from that family with all the attention and all that. It was just like a total happy love story that had nothing to do with that. I mean, I'm not saying she doesn't love him. I'm saying I think it's naive to believe that she just thought this guy might be some pauper. He's just, you know, an average lad over from the UK. And, oh, what a surprise. He's a prince. That's not how this went down.
No, I don't think that. But I don't think she knew how controlled she was going to be by the firm.
I think that's on her. That's on her.
How would she know? How would she possibly have known?
Google.
Unless you're going to that. And that's how you're going to decide. Like, what if you fall in love with somebody and their background, their life is different from yours? And so you're just going to walk away from that because you're not.
No, you figure it out and you decide, OK, if I'm going to be part of this, if I'm going to go all in knowing what this entails and what my responsibilities are going to be and so on and so forth, then you have to do research and homework and due diligence. And either she didn't do that, shame on her, or she did and she's being dishonest about it. And I don't think either one is a great look. I'm not going to sit here and be hardcore anti-Meghan. I don't know enough. I don't care enough. But I'm just not totally terribly impressed with her in a number of different ways. And I have to admit that I am reaching the end point of my caring and things that I can even possibly say on this segment about any of this. Do you have a final word, Wyatt?
I do, actually. I do. I think, you know, just take a step back and look at Meghan Markle's role and all this and everything and think of what an opportunity it is to be married into that family and have the responsibility. I mean, they don't do much, the royal family. They don't have much power. But what they do is they do a lot of charity work. They do a lot of ribbon cuttings. They do a lot of trips around the world. I mean, she didn't, I guess, appreciate that value. I mean, if I could have that job, I think that's amazing, just to go around and jet set around the world and go and help. They do help people. They do a lot of charity work. But she somehow just didn't see that as something that was worthy of her life or her time. And no. I don't know.
Yeah, he wants to be Wyatt Windsor. Or Windsor Wyatt. It's another nickname for him. Christine, all right, you get the last word very quickly because we're almost
she
out of time.
Trapped. And I'm out. She was trapped, and she needed to get out. The end.
Just trapped in all the palaces that she voluntarily married into. What a difficult situation. What a victim. We got to go. Back here tomorrow, back in D.C. for one show at least from the home base on the Friday edition of The Guy Benson Show upcoming. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you then. Home stretch, Friday edition, as the weekend beckons. GuyBensonShow.com, that's our online home here, podcast free every day. And tonight I am back on the road, if you can believe it. Just got in. I think I got into my bed at like 1:45 a.m. last night or early this morning. And then I was up to join Varney on Fox Business Network. I was on sometime in the 9 o'clock hour. It was just not a huge amount of sleep, but it's okay. It's just a big home stretch, if you will, toward an election. So I had an event in L.A., and then I'm going to Chicago tonight. I'll squeeze in a football game tomorrow. Hopefully the Cats can bounce back from their annual loss to Duke. Woof. I think they should win tomorrow. If not,
I'll be in quite a foul mood. And then on to Wisconsin, where I have an event and a speech early next week. I'll be doing the show from the Badger State for a couple of days. And, of course, Wisconsin is home to a very competitive governor race. We've had the Republican nominee here, Tim Michaels, on the show. And a crucially important and very close Senate race with Senator Ron Johnson seeking re-election. And he was just on the show a few days ago. So I'll be talking to some folks on the ground in Wisconsin and will report back. In the meantime, we were on our call today getting ready for the show. And we were debating what to do in the home stretch segment. And often we have different ideas. And then, not infrequently, Dan or Wyatt will just mention something that Christine had said to them without me present. And then that becomes the topic. Because I feel like Christine was trying to keep it from me. And it's quite interesting or intriguing. And then it's like the cat's out of the bag, and so we're going to go on air with it. So in this case, what's the backstory here? Wyatt, were you in New Jersey and you went to a Waffle House? What happened here? You went to Waffle House at some point. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, guys. So I went to Waffle House last night in Maryland, of all places. And I was talking to Christine about it, and she just has never heard or has been to a Waffle House.
All right, we need to unpack quite a few things here. But first, did you stop at a Waffle House because you were passing it on the way to somewhere and you were hungry? Or did you seek out a Waffle House? And if so, how far did you travel to go to said Waffle House?
Well, I was with a friend, and we were already outside of the Beltway of D.C., and it was only, we were hungry, and so there was a few different options. Like, we were kind of in the mood for that kind of, you know, home-cooked Cracker Barrel-type meal, and we looked at Cracker Barrel, and we saw that there was a Waffle House, and there was also one of those, I know we talked about this not too long ago, Zaxby's?
Zaxby's, yeah.
Yes, that was a consideration, but we both agreed, I think Waffle House would be really good right now, so it was only a 25-minute more out of the direction of where we were going, but we did it, and it was well worth it.
All right, so like almost an hour round trip to go divert to Waffle House, and you say it's worth it?
100%. I mean, you don't get that here in D.C., so it was a good little treat.
Okay, so I'm going to sort of straddle both sides of this fence here, where, number one, of course I've heard of Waffle House. Like, they're everywhere. This is a huge thing. They're famous for always staying open no matter what. Like, natural disasters, everything. The Waffle House remains open. 24/7 is just what they do. And I have driven past countless Waffle Houses through the years. Mary Catherine Hamm, my best friend, is something of an aficionado, perhaps you could say, of Waffle House. That being said, I personally have not been to one. I've been to Cracker Barrels, of course. I've been to any number of these chains. Waffle House just isn't something that I have sought out or gone to, probably because of the name, Waffle House. I don't like waffles. I've been through this. I'll just say it again and just trigger warning for people who might be new listeners and don't know this is my hot take on food. I despise waffles, pancakes, French toast, all of it. I call it wet, hot, sugar bread, and I do not like it at all. So the fact that it's known for waffles, it is called Waffle House, it's like IHOP, right? Like International House of Pancakes. I don't like pancakes. I'm not going to go there. Now, I have been to an IHOP or two, but waffles, I'm out. So nothing against the chain. It is an institution that people love. I don't really know what the reputation is for how good their food is versus it's constantly open and convenient and affordable. I don't know. So Wyatt has now been to one and loved it. I've heard of them, obviously, but have not been to one. And Christine, you had never heard of the Waffle House until Wyatt told you about one today?
I don't think it's obvious that people know what the Waffle House is.
Really?
I travel. I've been all over this country, and I've never, ever seen a Waffle House before, ever.
I don't think that's right.
It is. No, maybe it's not right, but it's true.
They have more than 2,000 locations around the country.
in 25 states.
Never seen one. Never passed one. Never seen one. Never been to one.
I think you've absolutely at least seen one, but you just don't remember or you weren't paying attention. I think almost by accident you'd have to have seen one somewhere at some point.
I haven't. I don't know how else to tell you. I've
and
not seen
never
a Waffle House.
Heard of it.
You know what? Once he said it, no, it did not ring a bell to me. I was like, what's Waffle House? Like, why would you, what is that? But once I Googled it and I saw the yellow, like,
yeah,
then I was like, oh, okay, maybe I've heard about it from a story, you know, like something in the news, possibly. But
yeah.
Nope, never seen one, never been to one. There, I know they're not in New Jersey and New York. I looked.
Well, I think it's probably because in Jersey in particular, you've got a very robust diner scene, right? And so you're going to probably pick your local diner over a Waffle House. Although, I don't know, some people in New Jersey go to Domino's to get Hawaiian pizza with pineapples on it as opposed to excellent world-class pizza at the local joint like you. So maybe you would give up on diners and just go to Waffle House.
I doubt that. And it's not that I give up on local pizza places. Mm-hmm. It's just that Domino's does a fantastic pizza with pineapple and bacon. So when I want something like that, that's where I go. If I want breakfast, and you are so wrong about waffles and pancakes and French toast, it is the best. I think I want breakfast for dinner tonight. But, I mean, you can't beat a Jersey diner. Especially, I mean, come on, the disco fries alone.
Is that your go-to order at a diner, disco fries?
It used to be after like a night of clubbing.
Is that and what we established that disco fries is poutine, right?
I mean, it's disco fries. Poutine.
But commonly known.
Nobody says that. That's another thing. Before you, never heard of that before.
Mm. I think we could maybe, we might have to do a poll. We might have to do a poll on, in fact, Wyatt, let's get a photo of some poutine.
Can you stop saying that?
We're going to put it on. It's what it's called. And we're going to do
a poll disco fries.
On Twitter. What is this? And we'll give the two options and we'll see what America has to say. I think that's let's line that up. I will retweet it. So it's at Guy Benson Show on Twitter, at Guy P. Benson. And we'll just see what the people decide. We could do a subsequent, maybe follow-up poll. Have you ever heard of a Waffle House? And see how that one goes for producer Christine.
Well, I think that now you're kind of making fun of me, and this is why I didn't want to do this topic, and I think I expressed this. What did I say
in
the meeting?
No, if I'm making fun of you. You said, don't make you look stupid. And I said, I would never do such a thing. I simply ask questions here. Right? I report. You respond. They decide.
I don't think it's that far-fetched that someone in New Jersey doesn't know what a Waffle House is.
Okay, well.
I know what a Cracker Barrel is, but I didn't know up in, before like maybe 5 years ago. But I know what a Cracker Barrel is, and it's cute. It's cute. But
have you been to one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not like I wouldn't seek out a Cracker Barrel over a local Jersey diner. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah. As I've said before, I think the Cracker Barrel for me is a place that you stop on long road trips, and they all look exactly the same. Inside and out. There's just exactly the same layout. We got to run. I am off to the heartland, heading out tonight up to Wisconsin early next week. We will do the show from there. Talk to you then. Have a fabulous weekend. Stay sane. Stay safe. It's the Guy Benson Show.
That was this week's edition of Bonus Benson.
For more Guy Benson Show,
go to GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.